I'm here today with Shelley Kineth, and Shelley is going to share a story. We are at the Community Mental Health Association of Michigan 2024 Annual Summer Conference in Traverse City. Shelley, love to hear your story.
Thank you. I just kind of wanted to share how I ended up in the field of mental health. I was not a person that knew anything about it. I didn't grow up around it. My mom and dad first had opened up a family AFC home, which the people, you know, that we took care of lived in our home with us.
What is an AFC home?
Adult foster care.
Okay.
So it was a licensed adult foster care family home. So you live in the house with, you know, the family, and they take care of you. But we did it with the elderly. So that was for, like, 3 years. My mom and dad sadly got a divorce, but then my mom and stepdad opened up a 10-bed specialized adult foster care home. And so it was with people that had, you know, mental illnesses or developmentally disabled, you know, diagnoses.
Were the same licensing and requirements for the adult foster home that they had in the beginning where people live with you?
Totally different. Oh. It's under a whole different license. And then when you have specialized, it's when you contract with a mental health agency, and then you contracted them to get the specialized, you know,
license
and rates and stuff. Yeah.
Which is a lot of work to make that happen.
It's a lot of rules, because then you have, you know, to make sure that you're following all the LARA, you know, rules and regulations, and you have to make sure you're following the CMHs, you know, rules and regulations too. And then it takes you a minute to get set up, especially a big 10-bed home that was in the city of Jackson. And it was, you know, back then that those richy people, if you want to call them, had those huge homes, you know.
Yes.
So we found one. They opened it up. I was 19 years old, and my mom was like, "Yeah, and you're going to work there." And I said, "Yeah, no, I'm not, because I've never dealt with mental illness in any way." So I was part of being the part of society that was ignorant to this, because I was afraid of it, because the stigma was there. And I didn't win. I did go to work.
Can I just ask, how did your mother get involved? What brought her to all this work?
So my cousin Missy married a gentleman named Doug, and his grandma Isabella had these homes all over Jackson, and it really gave, like, the homeless people too,
yes,
like, places to go and everything. So my mom started working there. And then that's how it developed into us, them opening up the family home with us here we are.
Okay.
You know, I went to school to be an accountant. It did me well, because after I worked with my mom and stepdads, which I ran for many years, and then they ended up sadly getting a divorce. It didn't work. But then I went ahead and opened up my own family adult foster care home.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that I had taken care of at my mom and my stepdad's house, I ended up getting some of them, residents that actually lived in our house, which my kids had grown up with them anyways, being that it was, you know, it was my mom, you know,
yeah,
stepdad's. So then I had five gentlemen living in our home, and I thought it was really neat to have the family home thing instead of just buying and doing a group home, because it's a good structure for, you know, I was thinking for my children, and then having them around, you know, to, yes, let them know that they're just as normal as us, you know, whatever normal may be in your book or whatever, because, yes, I don't think anybody's really normal, but, you know, they're human beings like that. There shouldn't be that stigma that there's something wrong with them, that, you know, this, that, and the other, that everybody deserves love. So that was really neat for me. And then, like, I really thought too, that was really, I was taken back with, was the kids' friends that would come over, and I would always let the, you know, parents know and meet them, and they'd come over and they'd meet the guys and do all that. I never had one parent shun Not one parent say, I'm not allowing my kid here, because they had behaviors. They knew that, you know, they could be in the crossfire or something if that was to happen. And they were fine. And all the kids that came over, I mean, the five gentlemen that I cared for, you know, became, they were already our family, living in my mom and stepdad's, you know, AFC home. But then coming to our home, and then, like, we had a pool, we had a hot tub, we had a half-court basketball, I mean, so they actually had it really, really good. It was fun because they were a part of everything. Because we have in the big yard, we'd have, you know, baby showers, you know, graduations, mm-hmm. you know, they came to mine and my husband's wedding. I mean, they were, and their families would come over every weekend and we'd have cookouts and stuff. So it was really, wow. It was really, truly a family AFC home, right?
Yeah.
And it's just so good to see that with my kids growing up, like, they didn't like bullies. They didn't put up with bullies. You know, they were never going to ever be bullies. But I think it was very educational for them to see and understand what mental health is, or being mentally disabled is. And I think that was such a gift for me to give to my children with that. And I wish that my parents would have let me in a little bit more on that growing up, you know, because my mom did work at Isabel's, you know, for a long time. But, you know, back then I think it was people just wanted to hide it, or they didn't know what to do with it. And, you know, then that's where that stigma came from. So I'm a huge advocate now. It's made me who I am today. I go to all the rallies, you know, I'm with, you know, NAMI. I retired from doing it when my youngest graduated from college, because I thought, okay, I can fly from the coop. And plus, most of them were passing away because I had taken care of them for 28 years or longer. So that was really quite the bond that we had with all of the gentlemen that we, you know, took care of, became our family.
So now what are you doing?
So now I work for Beacon Specialized Living. I am an assistant vice president of the East operations. So I'm over in the Detroit, Jackson, Lansing. Mm-hmm. I have a home in Saginaw that I oversee, and a home in Lapeer. So I have 13 homes that I oversee right now. I started with Beacon in 2018 as a home manager. They had just came to Jackson. And then less than a year, I became a corporate trainer. And then less than a year, I became a district director. And then 2 years later, I became assistant VP. So I have definitely went up the ladder. And that's what's nice about Beacon, is it's so big and there's so many opportunities to grow. And that was one of the intriguing things when I got the call from the recruiter about coming to Beacon.
So what does your work entail when you go out? When you visit your homes, mm-hmm. what are you looking for and what do you do?
The first thing I like to do is, it's always like going into like Norm into Cheers, because they'll be like, Shelly's here. So I give them all each their time because they have lots to tell me, or, you know, I'm struggling with this or I have concerns with this. So I always give them 15, 20 minutes. Okay, then we'll go here, and then I might have to circle back around just so we can take care of this situation you have. I look for to make sure that staff is being not their boss, because they're not, but they're there to support them and teach them life skills, because they eventually can step down. So I look at all the data, but I look at the cleanliness of the home. I make sure they have food. I make sure that the residents are getting the support they need to carry out their IPOSs, which is their, you know, individual plan of service, because those are the milestones they need to hit to try to get to a step down. Because that's the ultimate goal, is teaching them life skills so they can get out on their own and out of an AFC home.
So how does it work? The AFC is owned by... usually a person?
Yes, owned by Beacon. So
the homes are owned by you,
yep.
by Beacon, mm-hmm. and then you monitor those homes.
So. Yep, so I am the licensee of that home and the administrator.
And the staff that gets hired in mm-hmm. is through Beacon then?
Yes, it is. We have recruiters, and then we, you know, we have like over 80 homes in the state of Michigan. We're pretty big. And we give you all the training and skills that you need to do your job, do it very well, because we like to help people succeed. Because if you're only as good as how you train your staff, you know. So as long as they have the skills and are trained on how to be successful at their job. That's how we, you know, help our residents be successful.
So how do you sustain your working staff at your homes?
I don't have much turnover in my homes. I mean, it's gotten a little better because, like, you know, and raise the starting wage. We do have a LEAP program. So if you come in, you're, you know, at your like ground level, entry level. And then after 90 days, after you've done all your training and everything, you can go and follow these study guides. And then you take a test and then you LEAP and then you get a raise with that. So the LEAP program is pretty neat because it's a monetary value, which everybody would like a raise here now and then. So every 90 days they can apply. And it goes on, like, you know, your attendance and how well you're doing your documentation and all that stuff and how good of an employer, you know, employee you are. So the LEAP program is a really neat thing. Plus, I'm kind of the poster child of leaping up at Beacon, you know. Yes. So, you know, it'd be 6 years, January or June 18th. Yeah, soon. And next week will be my 6 year anniversary with them. And I came all those levels, so it's something that if you have the passion and for what you do in this you know field, then you can make a difference. Yeah. But it's totally up to you. So that's kind of how I keep, you know, I talk on a level. I wear jeans, I wear the Beacon t-shirt, so just like staff does. I do not dress, you know, like I sit in an office, I go in the homes, I don't ask them to do anything I wouldn't do. So if somebody had a BM accident everywhere, I mean, you know, I would be the one helping clean up if somebody vomited, whatever, you know, I'm scrubbing walls, I'm doing whatever, you know. So I think that is a lot. You gain a lot of respect from them because I'm like, listen, I put my pants on the same way you do. My title behind my name doesn't mean I'm better than you at all. It's you learn something new every day. Every day in this field, holy moly, you think you know something and then you're like, whoa. And then I just tell them, you know, I wouldn't ask you to do something I wouldn't do. And, you know, you can do a lot of talking, but when you walk the walk, then that's when you gain respect. So it's kind of neat just going into all the homes because most people at those higher levels don't go into the homes as probably as much as I do.
That's what I was wondering because that's just that. But I think that makes the difference.
I think it makes
a huge difference. You're there talking to your residents, talking to your staff.
Mm-hmm.
They know, oh, hi, Shelley, you're here.
Yeah.
And they want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
It's huge. And it's like that. Yeah, it's like staff and residents. It's like, hey, Shelley's here. Hey, Shelley's here. Hey, when are you coming back? And I'm like, probably next week. Depends on if I'm traveling or not. And I do that with Beacon, too, is that if there's a home struggling in a different region or whatever, I'll go and I'll help support. You know, and I bring my team and we'll go and support and get it stabilized and make sure people are trained up and so we can have everybody succeed in it, you know, because if we succeed at what we do, then we, you know, then our residents succeed. And we've had my girls' home in Leslie, we've had two success stories where they were there and been in AFC for probably 6 to 10 years and they were what I call heavy hitters at first, you know, because they were really violent. And then I think the way that Beacon kind of promotes that it's person-centered, I mean, they really follow that. And then you do the eye care, is an integrity, compassion, advocacy, respect, and excellence. And you live by that. If you promote that and live by that core value, your residents will start to feel like people care, right?
Yeah.
Then they'll want to be excited about stepping down. Yes. And getting out. And one girl got out, she was a super heavy hitter. And wow, she, within a year, she turned herself around. She got out. She got her own apartment. She got a job. She had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And her baby's a toddler now. Like, she's doing so very well. And I don't think anybody that had probably ran into her in the past when she had been in the AFC homes, even before that struggling, would have ever believed that, you know, how she is and how she's married and everything. And she's doing so well. So neat to go and, you know, visit with them. The other ones, she didn't have, she don't have any babies yet, but she's doing well. She got out, got her own apartment. She works. She's doing very well. And those are like huge. That's huge success for them to find what made them tick to be like want that and thrive for it and to keep it and sustain it. So Those are really cool success stories.
So if a person wants to start one of these homes, mm-hmm. do you get people that reach out to you and say, I'd love to have a home, but I don't know where to begin?
Yep, we get referrals. We do have a referrals department, but like I'm down in Jackson. We're out of Kalamazoo is where Beacon is out of. So like if I get, you know, LifeWays calls me and says, hey, I think we got this referral. We had somebody come in. Or sometimes when we are out with like, you know, at like the Hot Air Jubilee and things like that, the Women's Expo and whatever, we'll have parents that are like, how do we get, you know, our son or daughter into mm-hmm. one of these homes? Because we're not going to be around forever.
Oh,
you know? So then you tell them where you need to go and go to your local, go to LifeWay, CMH, get an assessment done, this, that, and the other, and you go from there. And then LifeWay would send it over to, you know, us, and I'd let them know that they're coming and that they're interested in Beacon. When you get all the paperwork done, they send it to our referral team. Everyone, you know, we do our own assessment, and we decide as a team, like, what house would be, you know, a good fit for this particular person.
That's huge now with baby boomers, that a lot of...
Yeah.
Us are having to think about what's going to happen when we're not here mm-hmm. for our loved ones. So
mm-hmm.
that's great to know.
So, and I oversee three of my homes are autism homes, which that's really nice that the autism have like their own. They don't have to be in with somebody that is really behavioral, you know.
Yes.
And that doesn't, who may be a high functioning, you know, what they call high functioning, you know, person, and then there's this autistic person that, you know, they don't mesh well, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice that they can all be in a home where they kind of have the same, you know, diagnosis and the same little quirks or whatever they do. So those are really neat, interesting homes, and they're a joy to go to, especially when they come and give you a hug when you, because, you know, a lot of autistic people don't want to be touched.
Right.
But then when they come up and be like, ooh, like stick their cheek out for you to like kiss them. I mean, it's just, it's great.
So is your mother still alive?
Yep. I'm lucky to have my mom and dad both. So, yep. They're very proud that I ended up doing this.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I opened up mine, at least I could do my own accounting and my own taxes for my own business. I didn't have to pay that.
Yeah.
So it all worked out in the end. I wouldn't change anything.
So does your mom give you advice?
Or
has she told you something that really...
We share stories like she'll tell me about some of the... Because, like, Donald was, like, a staple in Vandercook Lake. You know, it's just south of Jackson, right? And I grew up in Vandercook Lake, graduated from. So Donald was the person that at Polly's, the grocery store, he's always out there picking up butts and trash and stuff. Well, he ended up living in our home that my mom and dad had. So, we just reminisce about some stories about Donald. But, you know, all the shops and the, you know, the parts store and all them, just, you know, he was, like... the face of Vandercook Lake, right? And everybody just really liked him. And it was great to see and know, like, I didn't understand it back then because, like, I just wasn't around it. I didn't understand, you know, mental health or developmentally disabled people.
So I was remembering, it was the age 19 when your mom said, you're coming to work here.
And I was like, yeah, no. I was scared to death.
Yeah.
And I always remember that when we get new staff, because honestly, it's the fear of the unknown.
Yes.
Because you never know what you're going to get. So that's part of promoting, like going to make sure that I'm there with the people when they start the job and they come in, like to help them, you know, number one, it's scary to start a new job. Change is scary to everybody. I don't care who you are. And then you feel like, you know, everybody's already knows each other. So I'm the odd man out. And I'm just like, no. We have fun here. One thing I do about work is I have fun. We have to, you know, money makes the world go round. We're not all millionaires, you know. We do need to work, so we should make it fun. And why not? Because the more you're happy, your residents feed off that, and then they're happy, and then we don't have behaviors. Nobody gets hurt.
And I'm so happy that you reached out to me to share this story.
Yeah.
Extremely inspiring, empowering, and encouraging.
Yeah.
So thank you so much,
Shelly,
for sharing.
I enjoyed it.